Welcome to the Cruciform Life Church podcast, featuring the weekly sermons from our Sunday gathering. Please visit us online at www.cruciformlifechurch.org for more information.
So here we are in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. And Paul just finished telling Timothy of his role of protecting the church from false teachings, if you remember. And as the pastor of the church, Timothy should exemplify a good understanding of the teaching. And on the other hand, he should be a good example to the church when it comes to his godliness. In this way, Paul said that he and the church will be preserved. And again, church, I would like to remind us of that, that our theology and our lives should go together. Okay, our theology and our lives should go together. And one thing I realized this week, I was pondering upon it. I realized after I meditate on God's word, we have a sense of understanding already of what the word meant. But unless we apply it, we would never really understand it by heart. There are certain things that we only understand if we apply. And so it is very important. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes we are tempted to just think of other things instead of God's word. But let us always remind ourselves that sanctification happens when we begin to apply God's word. It even changed my prayer before the Lord. I was thinking of Robert Murray McChain, who died early at around 29. He was a great pastor. And he said that his greatest gift to the church is his own holiness. And I begin to understand that one, because not only that if you live holy lives, God would bless the people through you, but God does not do it magically or mystically. But rather, our sanctification would lead the way for our hearts to be pure, because that is needed to really understand God's word. And once we understand God's word, if Pandora boxes will be opened because we understand it, then we will be a blessing to the church. In that sense, I understand that my holiness and your holiness is our greatest gift to one another. But Paul knew that the role of the pastor does not stop with teaching. It does not stop with teaching or to be behind the pulpit. He goes on to admonish Timothy to somehow address those in the church who might be needing pastoral care. This is what we will be talking today. And we both have things to learn here. With all honesty, there are things that we fail. And I'm preaching to myself this morning. And instead of defending myself, I am quick to say, I luck on this and I need you to pray because we want to grow in this area. But we also want you to come instead of hide behind your struggles so that we your leaders could be there and help you. So Timothy could not just see the church as corporate body of Christ, but just as a good shepherd is, he should know them by name. Philip Towner commented, "It falls to the Christian leader to cross all these lines," what he meant by that, all demographics in the church, older women, older men, younger men, "to cross all these lines from time to time in order to minister effectively." So generally speaking, what we have here today, the passage that we will be studying, is how elders in the church can rightly use their pastoral authority or how to rightly exercise pastoral care. How to do this? How can we use our God-given authority? This is a question that last Tuesday evening, the leaders and myself were dealing with, because in a sense, we have to repent to one another, realizing how we have failed to provide the church with the kind of leadership that the church should enjoy. We were discussing on how can we use our God-given authority to rightly pastor you, to rightly pastor the church. Now, as leaders in the church, we are far from perfect. We are far from perfect. But this is what we want to assure you. We are committed to grow. We are committed to grow. Just as you need us to be gracious to you, you have to be gracious to us as well. But this is our commitment to you, to grow in our leadership, to grow in how we would pastor you. As far as this question that we sought to wrestle last Tuesday, little did I know that as I prepare for the sermon today, God will continue to deal with me on this one. I originally entitled this message and the one that published in our Facebook, our graphic, as pastoral care and showing honor. And rightly so, because today we'll see how to use authority and at the same time respecting people. But allow me to change the title because I felt like the better title is a gospel-shaped pastoral care. A gospel-shaped pastoral care. And indeed, that's our final title today. Now, generally speaking, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 deals with how we show care to everyone in the church. And I believe this is something that not only leaders in the church should learn, but all of us. How can we show care to everyone? How we care for every demographic in the church, verses 1 and 2. How we care for those who have legit need in the church, verse 13 to 17. In their context, those were the widows. But mind you, our context has changed today. When we say those who have legit need, it might not mean widows. Some of us might have some. We'll talk about that one next week. How we care for our pastors. Verses 17 and the rest of chapter 5. And how we care for our masters, those that we are working to. In our passage today, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, caring for everyone in the church, Paul gave a rather general guidelines to Timothy as the young pastor of the church on the proper attitude. Kung paano po ba yung tamang attitude na magkaroon si Timothy towards different care, different people in the church as he carries out his pastoral duties. Making sure, I think it's at the heart of this passage, to make sure that everyone in the church is growing as they should. Growing as they should. So what I will do today, we always give us roadmap towards our preaching. What I'm going to do today is just to explain to us the text. Most of our time, 40 minutes probably of our time, it's more of explaining the text. And then after we will explain the text, we will nail down our main point, and then we'll do three things why we need to learn pastoral or gospel-shaped pastoral care at the end. Okay, so basically we do not have point one, point two, point three. We just discuss the text. Okay lang po ba yon? Or bagsak po ako ngayon sa homiletics because I'm not doing the usual way we're doing it. I don't think there is a one way to preach the word. I just don't. I just felt today that we just have to explain the text. Now, the passage is part of Paul's admonition to Timothy as the pastor, I believe. This is in the context of pastoral work. Particularly, Timothy should be able to carry out his pastoral duty to each one in the church rightly. Rightly. If he is to effectively grow everyone spiritually which is, by the way, the very goal of pastoral work. Elsewhere, Paul said, "Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom." And then he said the purpose why he sought to preach the gospel faithfully to them and ask the Lord for wisdom on how these particular truths of the gospel can be applied to everyone in the church. And he said that we may present everyone mature in Christ. I believe Paul's purpose of his admonition to Timothy in verses 1 and 2 is for Timothy to know that he sometimes has to minister on the level of an individual, or what we call today as one-on-one, or counseling, to make sure that everyone is growing in maturity. And right at the onset, I want to ask for forgiveness for those of you who felt like, "I need Pastor to be here, but he is nowhere to be found. I need Pastor to come alongside with me, but he is just too busy to do that." Let's work on that together. There are some who might be needing a more special or individual care at some point of your life. What is clear is that Paul wanted Timothy to make sure that he will build up rather than tear down anyone in the church, guiding Timothy as to how to address, or he should address, the older men in the church. Paul said, "Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father." Do not rebuke, but encourage. We have to look into this more closely, because this gives us a paradigm on how to understand what Paul wanted Timothy, or how Paul wanted Timothy to minister even to the younger men, or to the older women, or to the younger women in the church. My take on this text, if you notice, is that the word "encourage" should be applied to the younger men, to the older women, and to the younger women. It is not just for the older man. I was thinking Paul might have been thinking of a specific person in the church, because if you notice, he did not say older men. But he said younger men, they're all younger men. And he also said older women. And he also said younger women. But when it comes to the older men, he did not say older men, but he was saying this older man. You might have been thinking of a specific person. But again, my take is that the word "encourage" is to be applied to every single one of these people. Encourage younger men as brothers. Encourage older women as you would a mother. Encourage younger women like sisters. Now, it's clear that Timothy should understand that the goal in ministering to everyone in the church is edification. Any pastor should understand that. It is to build up each one in the faith. Look, instead of rebuking this older man, Timothy should encourage him. This word "encourage" here is at the heart of the work of the pastor and the rest of the elders in the church. Encourage. NIV translated this, "Exhort him if he were your father, as if he were your father." The NASB translated this as, "Appeal to him as a father." Ano po bang gagamitin natin dito? But the beauty of the word goes beyond encourage and exhortation. The beauty of the word is really saying to come alongside with. To come alongside with. And this is a very beautiful picture. We are to mirror to each one the work of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? The Holy Spirit is called the Paraclete in John 14, and which means the Holy Spirit will be with us. He will come alongside us. And the work of a pastor here for Timothy, more than the goal of pastoring, more than the purpose of pastoring, and that is to grow everyone in the church, is the way by which he would do it, and that is to come alongside those who are weak in the church. Come alongside with. I was reading this book on how to mentor. And the writer gave examples. And there was one by the name of Brian, and he was looking for a mentor. But then when he was mentoring, he was mentored by somebody. He was given a book. This will sound familiar. He was given a book, and the commitment is, I will mentor you, read a chapter every week, and we will meet and discuss the book. But Brian was thinking every after their meeting, like, okay, we've discussed the book. I'm so pressured. And sometimes I go there. I'm not ready. I've not read the book. And it turned out that he fell out eventually because he was so pressured. But he still felt in his heart that he needs a mentor. And then the next mentor came into his life, had a very different approach. This mentor came alongside him, ask him what his struggles are, penetrating questions that would unfold what's in his heart. Then he began to enjoy this mentoring. I think that's a picture of what Paul wanted Timothy to do here. To come alongside with. Not to come to somebody and you are already ready of the text, the book, and say, just do this. But to come alongside with is to hear, to be with them in their pains, to be with them in their confusion, to be with them in their encouragement, discouragement, to be with them in their pain and weaknesses, which this is the part of pastoral work that I repented before the Lord. I know I could not do it to all of us, but to model it so that more of us would learn how to come alongside those who are weak in the church in order that they might grow. Just encouraging here, two things that we need to say. Encouraging is best done by coming alongside the person. It is best done by coming alongside the person. For all we know, all of us are looking for this one. Right? For all we know, even I myself as a pastor, I find myself saying, Lord, can you give me someone who will come alongside me? Second, encouragement should be given to everyone who needs encouragement. It should not only be to some few individuals, but everyone who needs help. Older men, younger men, older women, younger women. One historian said that what Paul is doing here is giving us their demographics at the time. Today, there are so many demographics. We have children, we have youth. And then, pagkatapos mo sa pagka-youth, meron pang young adult. And then, next, meron pang adult. Pag nag-asawa na, meron pang young couples. And then, meron pang older couples. There's so many demographics, but at the time, the historian said, no, this is how they look at. When Jesus went out of his parents' house, he is an adult. He is not youth, young adult. And so Paul's point here is that encouragement, building up, should be given to everyone in the church. And again, church, as one of your pastors in the church, one of your elders in the church, I would like to ask for forgiveness in those times that you need your pastor, you need your shepherds, but we were not there. But can I also ask favor from you, because we are not the Holy Spirit and we're not omniscient. You should have known my need, Pastor. You should have known that I was so discouraged at that. Kung kala mo sa akin, Holy Spirit. Can you please tell us? Can you please come? After the service, our leaders are here. You can go to them and talk to them and ask for prayer. Church, our desire for one another, above all, should be our maturity. This should be our prayer for each one of us. Yes, we pray for physical needs around us, but more than that, if it is in our capacity to help a brother, you don't have to be a pastor to do this, isn't it? You don't have to be a pastor to come alongside your sister. As the writer of the book of Hebrews said, that we should consider how to stir up one another to love and good deeds. See, we cannot just express our disappointments, our frustrations, and forget that we are our brother's keepers. I want to emphasize that continually. You are your brother's keeper. You are your sister's keeper. However painful the situation might be, we should always remember that we are a family. We are dealing with sisters and brothers whom we love. Because the moment we forget about this, when we just think about how a brother pained us, or sometimes ang brother or yung sister, sumasakit na yung ulo natin. The moment we forget that he is a brother, she is a sister, then we will forget that we are supposed to build that person up. What happens is when we forget that we are supposed to build him up as a sister, as a brother, we turn to be their critics. All of us should learn this. And not just the leaders, isn't it? The next thing that we have to notice from the passage is the different approach that Timothy should make. Look at what he said. He should encourage an older man as he would a father. To encourage older men as he would a father. He should encourage younger men as brothers. He should encourage older women as mothers. And he should encourage younger women as sisters. Look at the different approach that Paul wanted Timothy to have. Again, we should always look at this in the context of pastoral work. And in light of Paul's admonition to Timothy on not to rebuke older men, we can surmise, we can guess, that Paul might still have been thinking of how to address these men, maybe a particular person in the church, who were probably into the false teaching already. And yes, Timothy should use his authority because he is the pastor. But he should use it appropriately. He should use it appropriately. Philip Towner said that the using of this authority requires sensitivity and care. It requires sensitivity and care. As I've said in our meeting this last Tuesday, we were dealing with the question, how should we exercise our God-given authority rightly? Because when we look at the letters of Paul, it's like Paul is really commanding all the time. He was commanding the Corinthians. He was commanding the Ephesians. He was commanding the Thessalonians. Paul did not have a confusion if he has the authority or he does not have authority. But he also knew very well how to exercise that authority. We thought we will be accountable to God if we will not use this authority, which for me is what bad leadership is. Bad leadership is not that we make bad decisions. And by the way, for wives here, when your husband will make a bad decision, all leaders will make bad decisions. A bad leader is one who is passive. Na isang buwan na dapat desisyonan, hindi pa rin nakagawa ng desisyon because he is passive. But we thought we will also be accountable to God if we use it wrongly. So in some sense, all of us would continue to wrestle this question, how should we exercise our God-given authority? 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 is part of the section of 1 Timothy that starts with verse 1 of chapter 5 and ends in chapter 6, verse 2. This part of that long section. A section which deals with approaching, again, different demographics, verses 1 and 2. Widows in the church, verses 3 to 16. Their pastors and vice versa, verses 17 to 25. Master and slave relationship, chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Now, there's a word, if you notice this one, there's a word that here might not have been mentioned in verses 1 and 2, but I believe the whole section deals with how to honor each one in the church. Look at verse 3. Paul said, honor widows who are truly widows. Now, if you jump with me to verse 17, you'll notice this word again. Paul said, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor. And if you jump with me to chapter 6, verse 1, Paul said, let all who are under a yoke as bondservants regard their own master as worthy of all honor. It might be rightly said that this section is about honor. Now we're beginning to see that elders, or all of us, will be able to exercise authority rightly when we are able to use it in a way that does not demean a person. To exercise our authority in a way that still honors somebody. Honors a person. An honor means one's estimated worth. That's what honor is. And here in this passage, Paul is really looking at the norms of their society. Norms of their society. In their context, older men should always be treated like a father. Have you seen the Chinese culture in the Philippines? Have you been with the Chinese? Chinese garter. You can sense their respect to their patriarchs, isn't it? If their patriarch is talking, the rest will listen. In the time of Paul, older men were always treated like father. Younger men like a brother, older women like a mother, and a younger women like a sister. And it's not surprising because theirs is a name and shame culture. Respect is very important. No one should be looked down. And in some way, Paul might have been telling to Timothy that Timothy, do not do to others what they have done to you. If you remember, Paul has to admonish Timothy, let no one look down on your youth. You know how it feels, Timothy, when you are disrespected. You know how it feels when you are disregarded. You know how, Timothy, when you are not valued as a person. And now as you exercise your pastoral duties, make sure that everyone, even if you're rebuking already, that you are still respecting the person. Today, as I've said, children, in our time today, when they're talking to their fathers, sometimes, maguguluhan ka kung mag-ama ba to or magkapatid lang to eh. And the spirit of our age is that if you want to keep your son, if you want to keep your daughter, give them what they want. Obey your children's so that you have a long life after you. We cannot understand what Paul is doing here unless we read it in their own lens. That respect is everything. What Paul is telling is to us here is to make sure that Timothy gives honor where honor is due. Even if Timothy might have no authority as the pastor, to lash out, yan po yung word na rebuke, lash out older men with strong words, who are older than him, like talking someone who are younger than him, it would disrespect that older man. And I'm amazed at this, because if some scholars were right to mean that this person might have been one of those who are starting to embrace the false teaching, it is so amazing because Paul said to Timothy, you can do that, but still make sure that you still understand that he is older than you. That never that Paul said to Timothy, do not use your authority, but he's saying, use it properly. Andreas Kostenberger would be of help to us here. He said, humility demands that older men in the church, even if not in leadership position, be treated with respect in keeping with their age. Para bang galit na po ako sa iyo. Nandito pa rin po. And just because he is the pastor and a little bit frustrated, he cannot suddenly call the person by the first name and no longer call him any respect. For example, instead of Brother Russell, I would say, Russell! Peace, Brother Russell. And just as Timothy should not allow others to look down on him for his youth, he cannot look down on his fellow youth because he was the pastor. He should at least see them as brothers. He cannot suddenly see him as greater than older women, himself as greater than older women in the church because he was the pastor. He cannot see younger women as someone he can just talk and, you know, and losing respect. And that Paul is really talking about honoring everyone in the church here is especially clear with how he wanted Timothy to treat women of his age, younger women in the church. Yes, to treat the women of his age like sisters connotes respect already, but like the way a man treats his biological sister, and that is, there should be purity. Or else it will be an incest. In the mind of Paul here, church life is a family. It is a family. And how can you see with lust your sister when you are part of a family? So he's saying, yes, you might be talking to younger women, but make sure, Timothy, that purity should be upheld. There's something to be pointed here, isn't it? Younger men in the church. I think we can draw something here. Young adults in the church who are approaching our younger women in the church. We know that we are truly in love because we have nothing but all purity. We should have a high respect for our sisters. That impurity is the last thing we would ever think of. Yes, Timothy should exercise his God-given authority. But if he is to build up everyone in the church, he must respectfully exercise his authority. We should seek to maintain respect even as we exercise our authority to anyone because we value them. Now listen, church, we've talked to some of you and sometimes there are hard talks. But in any way, you were so disrespected when we got to talk to you and you felt like I was so disrespected. I was not even given the honor due to everyone. Then again, please be willing to come to us because we are willing to ask for forgiveness if we have done that to you. Lastly, because the attitude that Paul wanted Timothy to show others towards different people in the church is reflective of their social norm, reflective of their community at the time. Paul had in mind the testimony of the church. He had in mind the testimony of the church. The attitude that Paul wanted Timothy to have towards people in the church was actually the norm of their society. One author wrote, "In Timothy's day, role relationships within and across social boundaries were well defined. Respectability was determined by one's adherence to such rules of behavior. Becoming a Christian by no means meant that the social rules ceased to apply. On the contrary, all believers were to obey them. As models, Christian leaders, far from being above the rules, were all the more bound by them." May rules pa ba sa society natin today? May rules pero parang nabaliktad na. But the acceptable rules, we have to respect that. How can Christian leaders expect that they will be respected when they could not even give the kind of respect that their culture is giving to one towards one another? It's a good way of reminding ourselves this morning that we operate through love, isn't it? We operate through love. And love requires more than what the community, the society requires. Remember what Paul said. Faith works through love. Love is the higher plane. How can we say that we love if we could not even adhere to the social norms, which is supposed to be the lower plane? And remember Jesus. Jesus said, "Yeah, you heard that, or what is it that you love those who love you back?" He said, "Love your enemies." This is your standard. So Paul expected Timothy here to make sure that for the minimum, he should give to each one in the church the respect that even their community would readily give. That's why minsan sinasabi nila, "Christian ka pa naman." That's very unfortunate. Because it's a saying, mabuti pa yung mga unbelievers ganitong mag-treat on someone, and here you are a Christian. You could not even treat your brothers. You could not even treat your sisters rightly. Timothy, and like the rest of us, he could not go lower than that. I heard of a lot of testimonies from Christians who left their church because they were verbally abused by their pastor. And not only that they did not feel the love, I've heard many of them saying they even felt so disrespected. And he said, forget about being a pastor, being a Christian pastor. I felt disrespected even as a person. And I sense that just as they were disrespected, they lost their respect to their leaders. If it is only the abuse, reputation of the abusive pastor, think about it. Kung a pastor in the first place is abusive, what else should be saved? No reputation should be saved, isn't it? Nothing. However, even our community holds up some social norms or maintains some social norms because a society will break down if those social norms would not be followed, isn't it? A community will fall down if, for example, the social norm of respecting, giving the right respect would no longer be upheld, that community will collapse. And think about the church. If in the church, the social norm of the Christians would no longer be upheld, then it is not about a person in the church or the pastor. It is about the community starting to collapse. What is really at stake here, when Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, make sure that you show respect to everyone in the church, what is really at stake is the community of faith. Which, kung mawala po yon, what will happen to the testimony of the gospel? What will happen to the community say, what will the community say about our church? Kung paglabas natin, nagsisigawan tayo sa labas, di ba? Kung utang mo sa akin, bayaran mo na. Yung gano'n. What will the community say about Christ? Along C5, I was told of that building, there's a building, a big building of a church. And I was told, the church, pastor, the church has dissolved. And the building is used as residential already. So when I asked what happened, I learned that the leaders were accused of an abuse that even the community could not accept it. The reputation, she told me, of the church was totally destroyed, that it eventually closed. Even though Paul did not explicitly mention in this text to ask Timothy to uphold the values of the community, that is respect, he clearly had in mind the testimony of the church, the testimony of the gospel. Leaders of the church who are supposed to be examples should be the last people who should disregard the social norms that are reflective of the image of God in man. Diba yung respeto, ano yun eh? Pag-respeto na yung tao ay ginawa ng Panginoon. Pag-respeto because the image of God is in every person. I understand the difficulty of striking the balance that Timothy needed to learn. How can you exercise authority over a sinning older man in the church? And siguro si Timothy sabi niya, paano ko i-exercise yung authority ko? I call him Tito. He surely had this dilemma. I had this dilemma when I was a young pastor. I was advised when I became a pastor so young, and I was told, now that you are a pastor, stop calling Tito and Tita. I love to call Tita and sure, Tita. And someone says, huwag ka na mag-tito, huwag ka na mag-tita, because you are now a pastor. If you call them Tito and Tita, how will they follow you? But my dilemma is that I'm not comfortable to call someone older than me their first name. Did I call anyone here like May? I'm not comfortable loose. No, not anymore. Sorry. I'm not comfortable. No, I call Nona. The soundest advice I got is that he said, instead of calling Tito and Tita, call them bro or sis, which I apply even today. In this way, I still show respect without necessarily forgetting that God has given me an authority that sometimes have to be used strongly if edification should happen. See, if you look at this text, this is what we learn. We should learn how to maintain respect. How to maintain respect in the use of our God-given authority if we are to build up each one in the church and glorify Christ in our community. Let me say that again. We should learn how to maintain respect in the use of our God-given authority if we are to build up each one and glorify Christ in our community. And this is the beauty of the gospel, isn't it? When we get to understand the gospel, this should not put us, you know, on a checkmate and we do not know how to exercise it, because this is exactly what Christ did to us. Our prayer is that we will continue to grow in this kind of pastoral care, and we want to ask you to pray for us so that this is the kind of pastoral care we might provide for you, a gospel-shaped pastoral care. I want to draw three things in answer to why should pastors need to learn how to render a gospel-shaped pastoral care, or maybe why should small group leaders need to learn how to render a gospel-shaped pastoral care, or maybe a mother in the church or a father in the church, anyone who has some sort of authority, we need to exercise it in a way that is shaped by the gospel. First, we should learn gospel-shaped pastoral care because we seek to edify. No, because yung goal natin is to present everyone mature in Christ. Di ba pagkagalit ka na, sometimes pag nakalimutan mong galit ka na, and even to your children, and nakalimutan mong you're supposed to rear them that they might grow as good children, at nothing matters to you at that point is that ma-express mo yung galit mo. Nothing at that point is that masaktan din kita dahil sinaktan mo ako eh. If the moment we forget that we are to edify others, then we lose the gentleness. Or sometimes pagka fed up na tayo, we also reach to the point of saying, bahala ka lang ha. Both are a wrong kind of leadership, because we ought to provide still the leadership, but at the same time maintain gentleness. That's why the second thing is we should learn gospel-shaped pastoral care because we value each one in the church. I like the reason that Jesus gave so we would heed to his invitation to find rest in him. He did not remove his authority. In fact, Jesus said, take your yoke or yoke yourself upon me and learn from me. That's authority. Yoking is uniting yourself with someone, right? And the greater and more powerful one will control you. That's yoke. The bigger donkey and the yoke to a smaller donkey, the bigger donkey would dictate where to go. We are yoked to Christ, and Christ is the greater and more powerful one. We are supposed to obey him. He said, learn from me. But remember what Jesus said. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Yes, we obey Jesus. But he is not like the religious masters who called the people to work harder if they were to be accepted. Jesus' yoke is easy because before he even begins to ask us to obey him, he already assures us that he accepts us and loves us. When I think of the blueprint of balancing care and authority, I always turn to the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is a beautiful chapter. Towards the Thessalonians who were greatly persecuted, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 to 8, "But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. We were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you have become dear, so dear to us." And just three verses later, Paul then said, however, verse 11, for you know how like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. The ultimate example of inatay si Paul. Yes, you should expect us, church, to exercise our authority, because we are to make sure that you walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, which is the way of and to the kingdom. However, we may be able to do it entirely out of love. Again, as a pastor, one of the, I think, best compliment I've ever received was after I rebuked someone in the church. And his comment is that, "You were so strong, Pastor, but I never felt condemned. I know that it was love." Thirdly, we should learn gospel-shaped pastoral care because we are protecting the testimony of the gospel. Yes, our pastoral care should be reflective of the gospel. It is the testimony of the gospel that shapes how we administer pastoral care. We do not stop with ourselves. I hope that you feel that we do not stop with ourselves. We're not just pastoring the church because we want you to live well. Well, it is true. But that you also feel that, like, this is done by our leaders because of the gospel. That it is not simply to make our lives comfortable, but that we would grow so that all of us, individually and corporately, would preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, would live the gospel of Jesus Christ through our lives. Again, church, this is our prayer, that we all would learn how to give a gospel-shaped care.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Cruciform Life Church podcast. Check out more gospel-centered messages at www.cruciformlifechurch.org or subscribe to this podcast at Spotify.